This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called The Foundation of a Life Well Lived. In these teachings, Rick shows us that God has given each one of us something special, whether it's talent, education, opportunities, ideas, or creativity. And he wants us to use what he's given us for his glory and for our benefit. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a beautifully illustrated devotional for children by Pastor Rick that will help them discover how much God loves them and that he has a special plan and purpose for their life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called God's Five Purposes for Your Life.
There are three parts to laying a solid foundation for your life. First, you have to know who God made you to be. That's your identity. And if you're confused about your identity, you're going to waste your life. Because what matters is not what other people say about you, but what matters is what God says about you. And because he always knows and tells the truth, you want to listen to what he has to say about you. And we've already looked at that. Now, the second part of the foundation is you got to know what God wants you to do. That's your purpose. First, you need to know your identity, and then you need to know your purpose. What on earth am I here for? You've got to know who you are, and you've got to know what you were created to do. Then, the third part of a life well lived is you've got to know when to do it. And that's the right timing. Who you are, what you're supposed to do with your life, and when you're supposed to do it. Now, when all three of these line up in your life, your identity and your purpose and your timing, you have the ingredients for a successful life. Now, today, I want you to see God's five purposes for the rest of your life. But to set this up, I first want to ask you a question. Who would you guess was the greatest king in the Bible? I don't know if you've been reading the Bible for a long time or just a little time, but you might guess King David, because he's certainly the most famous king. He wrote Psalm 23 and so many other great psalms. You might guess Solomon, who was the wisest king. The Bible tells us he was the wisest and wealthiest king. You might guess Saul, who was the first king of Israel. But God says the greatest king of all in the Bible was a little-known king named Hezekiah. And the Bible tells us all about him in 2 Kings chapter 18. Let me read this to you. Chapter 18 of 2 Kings, verses 2 to 7. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. And there was never another king like him in the land of Judah, either before him or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands of the Lord that he had been given by Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah, watch this, was successful in everything he did. Can you imagine that? How would you like to have God say that about you, that you were successful in everything you do? I'm certainly not that successful. You're not that successful. But the Bible tells us that this guy was. What made Hezekiah special? God says Hezekiah was successful in everything that he did, that he was the greatest king in Israel. There was nobody before him or after him who even came close. Why? Because he always did what God wanted him to do. He knew who he was, he knew his purpose, and he knew the right timing. Now, if you'd like to be successful in everything you do, I highly suggest that you study this man's life, Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah lived an amazing life, but eventually, of course, Hezekiah grew older, and he starts having health problems. In fact, Hezekiah came down with a terminal illness. And in Isaiah chapter 38, it tells us the rest of the story. And that's what I want us to focus on first today. God comes to Hezekiah and says, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Your time's up. I'm pulling your number. I'm pulling the plug. I want you to come home to heaven. But interestingly enough, Hezekiah wasn't ready to die. So he gives God a 32-word argument on why God should let him live and serve God longer on earth. Now, that part of the story, as I said, is recorded in Isaiah. In Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 5, it says this. Later, this is much toward the end of his life, Hezekiah got sick, and he was about to die. And the prophet Isaiah comes and says, Hezekiah, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. You're not going to get well from this illness. And the Bible says, Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah, and facing the wall, he prayed to God. And here's what he prays. God, please, I beg you, remember how I've lived my life. Remember that I've lived faithfully in your presence, that I've lived out of a heart that was totally yours. You've seen how I've lived and the good that I have done. And it says, then God said, you know, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. And here's what I'll do. I'll add 15 years to your life. That is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible to me. Can you imagine you doing this with God? That you're near death, God's told you you're going to die, you're going to go to heaven, and you ask God to extend your life and ministry because you've done everything he asked you to do? God, I'd like to live on earth longer, and here's my reason. I've served you faithfully. Now, first, God, he says, I want you to look at my life, and God, I want you to notice that I faithfully obeyed you and I did everything that you told me to do. And second, I want you to look at all the good that I've done for other people and look at the impact my life has had for your glory and for the good of others. Well, that's what Hezekiah does, and evidently, God agreed with him. He agreed with Hezekiah's assessment of his own life because he says to Hezekiah, when Hezekiah says, Lord, I'd like to serve you on earth just a little while longer, and I'll make it count, God says, you know, Hezekiah, I believe you. I know you will. So I'm going to extend your life for 15 more years. Not just the donation of his life, but the duration of his life is going to be increased. Now, friends, this is one of the most hopeful stories in the Bible. And it makes me want to ask you, as well as to ask myself, three very personal questions. Here's the first question. If God asked you to give him reasons why he should let you live 15 years longer from today, what would you say? What would be your argument? God, you should let me live 15 years longer. Second question. If God reviewed the last 15 years of your life, and he looked to see how well you had served him and how you had served his purposes and how you'd been a good steward of what he gave you, and that was the basis of God deciding on whether he was going to give you 15 more years, would God have a reason to extend your life? Or would he say, no, I don't think you're serious about using your life to serve others. I don't think you're serious about fulfilling the purpose that I made you for, so I don't think I'm going to give you any more time. Now, here's the third question. Regardless of the time you have left in your life, and you don't know how much that is, neither do I, are you serious about using the rest of your time on earth and your energy and your resources to serve the God who created you and loves you and saves you and helps you? Let me repeat that question because it's going to determine not just the donation of your life, what you give back, the contribution you make with your life, but it also may determine the duration of your life, how many more years God gives you. Are you willing to use the rest of your time on earth and your energy and your resources to serve God and his purposes for your life? If your answer is no, then why should God give you another day to waste? On the other hand, if your answer is yes, then you need to listen very closely to the rest of this message so you can be certain to learn God's five purposes for your life. Now, God chose to give Hezekiah 15 more years of life because he had made the most of the previous years. He had not wasted his life. He was a good steward of all that God had given him. And that's what God is looking for in your life. Let me show you a couple of related Bible verses. These are from the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, it's very important. Listen to what it says. Be careful how you live. Live wisely, not foolishly. Make the most of your time and take every opportunity to do good, because evil is everywhere. Don't live carelessly without thinking. Instead, make sure you understand what the Lord wants you to do with your life. You know, I want to ask myself and ask you this question. Are you doing these five things right now? Are you being careful with your life? Are you living wisely? Are you making the most of your time? Are you taking every opportunity to do good? Are you making sure that you know what God wants you to do with your life? Those are important things. All five of those things are important. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, if you keep your life clean from sin, you will be an instrument that God can use for his highest purposes. I want that with my life. And I want that with your life, that you can be an instrument that God uses for his highest purposes. How do you do that? By keeping your life clean. Now today, the five purposes that God has for the rest of your life are what we want to look at. And you know what? It's no secret. God isn't playing games. He's very, very clear in the Bible about what these five things he wants you to do are. He tells us over and over again these five things in different ways in different passages. So let's get right into it. Number one, write this down. The first purpose of your life. God wants me to center my life around him. God wants me to center my life around him. He didn't put us on earth to live self-centered lives. Instead, he wants us to live God-centered lives, to learn how to love him and how to enjoy him and to enjoy his love to us. He wants us to have a friendship with him. God made you to love you, and he wants you to build your life with him at the core, at the center. God wants to be the nucleus of your life, not a piece of the pie, not a section, not a selection, not a periphery, not a part of your life. He wants to be the center. He doesn't want to be on the edge of your life, not in a segment of your life, but at the very, very core, the center. God wants to be the hub of your heart. He wants to be the axis of your existence. He wants to be the focal point and the focus of your attention. If I were to summarize it, I'd say it this way. God wants to have a love affair with you, because when you have somebody at the focal point and focus of your attention, you're in love with them. And God wants a love affair with you. One day, Jesus is walking down the street, and a man comes up and says, what's the most important command in the entire Bible? And Jesus says, I can summarize it. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Circle first and greatest. This is the first purpose of your life, to let God love you and to learn to love him back. To know Christ, to make him the center of your life. The most important thing you can do is to know God, and the most important thing you can experience in life is to experience his love, to let God love you and learn to love you back. Why? Because God made you to have a relationship with him. He didn't make you to not have a relationship. Now, this first purpose, you might write this down, is called worship. A lot of people think worship means singing. No. Singing is one way to worship, but there are hundreds of ways to worship. Worship is simply enjoying God's love and loving him back. Worship is enjoying God's love and loving him back. It's having a friendship, a relationship with God. Anytime you focus on God, you're worshiping. Anytime you get your eyes off your problems and onto Jesus, you're worshiping. Anytime you talk to him or you listen to him, you're worshiping. Worship is centering my life on God. Now, here's the truth. You're going to center your life around something. You may center it around your career. You may center it around your family. You may center around making money or being famous or your hobby or whatever. Anything besides God at the center of your life, you know what that's called? An idol. And the Bible says you will have no idols, No gods before me, and don't make any idols.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we want to let you know about an amazing resource Pastor Rick created called Winning with the Hand You're Dealt. You can get this free right now by texting the word FREE to 800-600-5004. That's the word FREE to 800-600-5004. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick says it's vitally important for children to understand that even before the universe was created, God had them in mind, and that He has a special plan and purpose for their life. That's why He created the Purpose-Driven Life devotional book for children. This resource uses principles found in Pastor Rick's best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, but delivers them as devotions that speak directly to the daily challenges kids face. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, ever since the publication of The Purpose-Driven Life, people have been asking me how they can teach their young children about the purpose of life. And they say, and I agree, that it's never too early to start teaching your children that they're loved by God and He has a purpose for their life. It's never too soon to tell a child God made you unique so you could fulfill your special life mission on earth. And God planned you just for that. Now, here's the super good news. We have taken the principles that are taught in The Purpose-Driven Life, and we've written them into short devotionals aimed specifically at children ages 4 to 8 years old. Today, more than ever, kids at this age need to hear the message that they're not an accident. They need to hear, even before the universe was created, God had you in mind, and He planned you for His purposes. You were made to last forever. Now, this book is called The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children. And it includes engaging illustrations and devotionals that speak directly to the daily challenges that all of our kids are facing. And as a way of saying thanks to you for your financial gift to Daily Hope, I want to send you a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children. This will be a great thing to give kids or to grandkids. And at the same time, your support continues to help us tell people all around the world about God's love and God's purpose for them.
We'll send you The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children today as our way of saying thanks for your gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. Be sure to get a copy for all the children God has placed in your life. Kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, and kids in your neighborhood will be blessed by this amazing resource. Go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.